Today's show is brought to you by Vinyl Me Please. Join the Record of the Month Club at joinvmp.com/songspodcast. Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, I do want to give you a friendly reminder that each and every episode comes with a unique playlist via Spotify or Apple Music. You can go to songspodcast.com or scroll down to the description of this episode and click on a link to the playlist, Apple Music, Spotify. They are there for you to experience the songs that we talk about on each and every episode. Thank you so much, and let's get right to it. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of Songs for the Moment. Happy New Year. It is 2019, the first episode of 2019. I am your host, Glenn G. Rod Rodriguez, and always with me is Sean Ebert. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Pretty happy to be in 2019. Just like every year, I'm saying I'm making a bunch of changes, but this year I'm actually going to make them and keep to them.
Yes, we have to. We got to do that. We have some goals for this show to keep this year, and I think we're going to do them. And I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing here. Today's episode is going to be a little different. Sean called me the other day and came up with this idea that we would add a little bit more music news talk in the beginning here before we get to the playlist, which is a fantastic idea. There's so much news about music going around, and there's some really big stories that broke over the last few weeks, specifically two. One with the most famous, I would say the most famous rapper of, like, right in the world, maybe all time, maybe, I don't know, famous wise, probably. And the other is a festival might be coming, or is definitely coming back. So,
right.
Let's start with your news that you want to bring to the table.
I just wanted to bring up, the fact that Kanye West said that he's going to be going on the Joe Rogan podcast. For a couple of reasons. Obviously, Kanye West is probably one of the most famous people on the planet. I think we can all agree with that. Whether you like him or not, anything he's associated with or does is going to get looked at by people that genuinely, well, that normally wouldn't look at that on their own. Like, there's probably a lot of Kanye West fans that don't really know what a podcast is. Like, they've heard of it, they've never listened to it, and they're really dismissive about it because it's like, oh, it's talk radio, it's boring.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's going to be on the, you know, one of the most famous people on the planet is going to be on, like, you know, the most popular podcast on the planet. I think it's going to be really, really good for the platform. But I also think it's going to be interesting because Joe Rogan calls people out when they talk bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanye likes to talk a lot of bullshit. Mm-hmm. And yep. I think this is going to be really interesting. I think I've never seen an episode of the Joe Rogan show where somebody walks out.
Yeah.
Or ends it early or something. But at the same time, you know, I know Joe Rogan's a really, really experienced and good interviewer. And I don't think he would let it get to that point. I think you would see that coming, kind of back off a little bit, but part of me hopes he doesn't.
Yeah. So Kanye has been on Jimmy Kimmel a few times, and it always seems like that's always a volatile situation, and they can always edit it out because it's not live, but it always seems to go well, you know. And yeah, Jimmy's a experienced interviewer. He's been in radio for the longest time too. That's where you got to start. But at the same time, you would feel like that's probably where the walkout would happen. I agree. I don't think it's going to happen with Joe. I feel like this is going to be a very, very honest interview, but it's going to be very laid back and chill to keep Kanye comfortable. You got to keep the guy comfortable. Yeah, he's Kanye West. I mean, you could say a lot of things about him. You can disagree or agree with his political views or whatever, but his mark on music is second to none. I am a fan of Kanye. I'm not really a fan of new Kanye, but like, I'm going to be the hipster and say I like his old stuff. So I'm really interested to see what he's going to say, what they're going to talk about. I know Kanye is into some weird shit. So is Joe. And you know, we've seen some really good interviews in the past few months and just all time with Joe Rogan. I mean, it is, his show at the beginning was just like him and his comedian friends, but then like he, you know, grew into
him and like Joey Diaz and stuff.
Yeah. And Brian Redband and all those guys. So now it's like he's interviewing all these amazing, interesting people. And, you know, when he got Elon Musk, I'm like, that's probably the epitome of his like show right there. Now he's getting Kanye, who is even higher on the chain.
He interviews really incredible people on there on the regular now. And he's, you know, over 1,000 episodes in. He's a really good interviewer because he likes to learn about everything.
Yeah.
He's multifaceted, you know. I mean, just the way he started out, he was a Taekwondo champion, stand-up comedian. Like, those are two crazy ends of the spectrum from each other. But I think it'll be a really cool episode. It'll be really good for the platform, and I think it'll be really good if Joe Rogan's the one person with enough balls to bring up Kanye's mental health directly to him in a live situation like that and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a really good discussion for that subject that needs to happen.
Yeah, I think Kanye can be a very, very important flag bearer for mental health advocacy and awareness. And I think, you know, someone with a megaphone that large could possibly really shine light on it to where politicians can start putting together bills to make mental health research and all that, like, just make it more important than it already is, because a lot of people still try to bury the stigma of it, and it sucks. And, you know, I was listening to Kanye's Hey Mama the other day, which is a song he wrote about his mom before she passed away. And I always look back to like when she passed is when, you know, maybe that's when it started spiraling for him, which sucks because he was really close with his mom. They were all they had, you know, there was no dad in the situation. It was just them two, you know? And I'm just really interested in seeing what he's going to talk about. And it's going to be a really awesome podcast. Do we know when it's happening? Usually Joe doesn't really announce those. It just happens.
Yeah. He'll do two episodes a day that are 3 hours a piece. Like, I've seen him do back to back live streams. Like, one guest comes in, he talks to him for 2.5 hours. Another guest comes in and he talks to him for 3 hours, and it's back to back, maybe like a half hour break in between. Like, the guy's a machine. So, but also sometimes I've seen guests go on there, like MKBHD from YouTube, the tech reviewer.
Oh, I need to watch that one. I like
it's
that.
Really good. He's probably the best reviewer on the planet.
Oh yeah.
And he went on there and he Instagrammed about it. He was like, "Hey, I'm going to be on Joe Rogan live in like 20 minutes. And I couldn't find the link. I went to Joe Rogan's thing, blah, blah, blah. It was a private link for some reason. And then like 4 hours later, 5 hours later, they uploaded it as a regular upload. So like sometimes it's live, sometimes it's not. I hope they do it live and there's no problems with the Kanye one, because I don't want it to be edited. Like, there's some podcasts that are edited, like Tiger Belly.
Okay.
Which is Bobby Lee's podcast, the comedian. He does that on purpose because he wants his guests to feel safe. He wants them to feel like if they say something and they turn and they say, "Edit that out," that it can be edited out. Mm-hmm. I know that Bill Burr was on the H3 podcast, and he actually did in the first like 30 minutes be like, "Edit all." He's like, "Just edit all that out." And they were like, "Well, that's live." And he's like, "Fuck." You know what I mean? Because what they were doing is they were kind of prodding into like, "Oh, well, you're going back home for the holidays. Who are you visiting? How many brothers and sisters do you have?" And he was like, "No, I'm not doing that." He's like, "I don't, this is none of your business."
Yeah. You know? I heard that was very awkward. That was an awkward episode, that show.
It was good. But Bill Burr seems to be the kind of person that will definitely tell you when you've crossed the line. And doesn't sugarcoat it.
No, he doesn't. He'll cuss you out, dude.
He'll curse you out and then get in his fucking helicopter and fly away.
But yeah, guys, check that out. It's going to be a good one. We'll probably post a link to it on our social.
Yeah, we'll post a link to it when it happens on our social. We'll share articles if we see it. One thing we wanted to do to relate this to what we do on this show is to give you guys, we're going to add some Kanye songs to the playlist. Since I am not a Kanye fan, me and Glenn were talking about this before the episode. We wanted to pick songs that we liked about the artists that we're covering in the news section. So the song I chose for the playlist is Lift Yourself, or as some people know it, the Poopity Scoop song, which is what I know it as. I had to look up the real title. I'm not a fan of Kanye. I've heard a lot of his music, but I didn't know the names of it. And some of them I didn't even know was him because I worked retail a lot in the past. And you listen to top 40 radio a lot in retail. So you'll hear songs that you're totally not interested in and you won't look up who the artist is and you'll think you don't know who it is, but you do. But I picked this song because I think it's, I interpret it as him trying to say that him putting random nonsense together is better than the bullshit that's out now, as far as hip hop's concerned. And I'm not going to lie, man, I've gotten this rhyme stuck in my head. Like after the first time I heard it, that first line, I was like, oh shit, poop, poopity scoop. Like you, it's catchy. The guy's talented. Whether you like him or not, you can't say he's not talented.
Yeah, he's one of the most talented rappers out there. I think I heard that once and laughed and just I knew it was just him poking fun at things and it was great. I have to listen to it again though. It's interesting. But I picked for my Kanye song. I'm a fan. I like Kanye. I'm not really a big fan of any of his new things. Like I respect it. I'm glad he's still putting out music. But and I like the thing he did with Kid Cudi. I remember what the album's called, but it's like a collab that they did. But I picked I Heard Him Say off of Late Registration, which was his second mainstream record. It features Adam Levine from Maroon 5, who I'm not really too fond of at the moment because he thinks rock music's dead and everything is happening in hip hop. And yeah, it's true, but like there's still a lot of great rock music out there.
I'm sorry, Adam Levine, can you comment on rock music considering you've never actually made rock music?
He did. First album.
What fucking album? What band is that?
Maroon 5.
I'm sorry, that's pop with guitars in it.
Okay.
Just because it has guitar doesn't mean it's rock.
Touche.
I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just saying Maroon 5's never been a rock band before, as far as I'm concerned.
Harder to Breathe, though. Really good song. I like that song. But
I'm not saying they're bad.
I know. No. I have to throw that out there because I... Songs About Jane, I always advocate for that album. Then anything after that, I'm not a fan of. So, Heard Him Say it's really good. It's actually the first song after the intro of Last Registration. I love the beat. And Kanye's flow on that whole album is really good. I remember listening to that with my ex, Ash, who I'm still friends with. We were just talking about this over Christmas break. We went to Deceive You in Cape May. You'll know that place, Sean. And we were talking about old songs that we listened to because she still listens to like Silverstein and things like that because that's how I got into a lot of that music because she was into that kind of music too. So, yeah, Heard Him Say. It's a really good song. Check it out.
All right. The second kind of music news we wanted to cover today was Woodstock's 50th anniversary. So... if you haven't heard, Woodstock is having its 50th anniversary coming up really soon. The original festival happened in August of 1969. So they've announced the date. And as far as I've seen from every article I've read, they haven't announced exactly where it's going to be yet because the old site can't accommodate that many people anymore. They've turned it into a place that can hold about 15,000. The original Woodstock had 400,000 people at it. So that's a lot of fucking people. And they haven't announced the lineup, but there are rumors going around who's going to actually be headlining and some major acts that are going to be playing. Glenn, did you want to go over who you've heard is going to be playing?
Yes.
I've heard some people. I don't know who you heard is playing.
Yes. So I'm pulling up the article here because apparently it likes to refresh itself. I can give you the dates. It's the 16th through the 18th of 2019. So this year it's going to be incredible. But the names I heard, according to this article from azfamily.com, which is, I guess, somewhere in Arizona, like a news station or whatever. And they're talking about Pearl Jam and the Foo Fighters are rumored to headline. And also Bon Jovi and The Who are also rumored to perform. So multi-generational bands there.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome for anyone who gets to go.
I think the Foo Fighters deserve it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They deserve it.
I agree with that. And like that's two great bands to headline. Pearl Jam, you know, one of the last standing grunge bands from that era. And They are pretty much the last standing. Soundgarden, unfortunately, can't exist without Chris Cornell. Alice in Chains still exists. They have just a new singer who's actually really good. And Nirvana, obviously, is gone. But Foo Fighters resurrect or like came about from that. And Dave Grohl is just he's the man. Like, he's the man. He's
probably the one guy that, like, the one rock star that I would probably want to hang out with.
Yep.
You know, because he seems like a really awesome dude. Mm-hmm. Every interview I've ever seen him in, he's like a really real awesome guy. And he's a great guitar player and a really, really good drummer. I would almost say he's a better drummer than a guitar player. He's just a really good songwriter in general.
Yeah.
But there's supposed to be two Woodstock 50th anniversaries.
Okay.
So the one is being put on by, like, you know, Live Nation and one other company. That's the big one. And then there's another one being put on at the original site by the original people that promoted Woodstock at that smaller venue that they have now.
Okay.
I don't think that anybody like they. I think the smaller one is going to be more older generation acts. But the new Woodstock is supposed to be multi-generational acts. They're supposed to have TED style talks, which I think is really cool. Depending on what they do, I just hope it doesn't turn into a Woodstock 1999 because I don't know if anybody remembers Woodstock 1999. There was a lot of apparent sexual assaults that happened there, and like really bad stuff. However, that Woodstock 1999 DVD or VHS tape, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I used to have it. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. There was a lot of bands that played that.
Yeah.
But I just hope that the crowd doesn't take it in the direction that happened in 99.
I feel like, I feel like we're in a time where that's going to be, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. Cause I mean, we have festivals that are like Woodstock where people camp out and things like that all over the world. We have Coachella, we have Bonnaroo, we have, Wacken in Germany, which is the big metal festival where people camp out and stuff. Yeah, I'm sure that stuff happens and it sucks. But I think it's like very few and far between now. I think people are kind of more well-behaved,
more conscious.
Yeah. And like that time, 1999, was such a wild time. You know, we were just like, you know.
Well, I mean, now I don't think it's more. I don't think it's going to happen as much now, especially with, you know, the whole like Me Too thing happening. Yeah. You'd be pretty ballsy to try to do something like that if you're. If for some reason you're into that kind of thing and you tried to do that at a concert, I think you're going to get called out pretty fucking fast these days.
You're probably going to get your ass kicked by.
Yeah, that's not a good idea to do, man. That's not a good idea in general, but especially, you know, now and in that environment.
But man, I've been talking about this Woodstock thing happening for a long time. Like, they need to do it. And everyone would say, oh man, I don't know if they're ever going to do it because of 99 and how bad it was. Mm-hmm. But over time, man, like, when things start to settle, that's when you can start thinking of things again. And I'm really glad you're doing it. I think this is really cool. I mean, because we have the other big festivals that we have in America, Coachella, which they released a lineup in it. I'm not a fan. We have Firefly. We have Bonnaroo in Tennessee. So having Woodstock come back is a pretty cool thing. Maybe they make it an annual thing. Maybe it's just a one-time anniversary thing. We'll have to see. But I'm interested.
I just hope that it stays a one-time thing and doesn't become Warped Tour, to where it's cool at first and then they overdo it and it gets crappy and worn out. Like, I don't want there to be a 50th anniversary Woodstock and then a 55th or a 53rd anniversary Woodstock and then a 60th. Dude, just do it every 50 to 25 years. Like Warped Tour got run into the ground doing it every single summer. Warped Tour's not cool anymore. Bamboozle's not cool anymore. And it's not because I don't like any of the bands playing. It's just like there are no good bands playing.
Yeah, see, Bamboozle stopped, you know, and they knew, like,
that's, like, this is over with.
Yeah, we need to end it. And, like, Warped Tour, I think, went on a way too long for its time. I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of bands I play that I'm not a fan of. I wish I went to a Warped Tour where bands like Pennywise and Less Than Jake and Rancid and the bands that I grew up listening to, the skate punk era, that really just, you know, totally were Warped Tour. That's what Warped Tour was. And, you know, I'll never get to see that. And that sucks. But, like, yeah, I keep it like a one-time deal, or do it, like you said, you know, every 25 to 50 years, you know, just do it up.
Keep it sparse, because, like, the what was behind Woodstock and what it was about was a huge part of the festival. The festival wasn't necessarily totally about music.
Yeah. Yep. And that's why I like the whole idea with the TED Talks, you know. You can do so many different type of topics there and bring awareness and things like that. Like, you know, mental health will be definitely a big one. You know, they'll have themed panels where they'll talk about, like, Dave Grohl will probably do a keynote speech about, you know,
he should,
about Nirvana again. You know, people probably already heard all these stories, but it'll be cool because it's Woodstock.
Yeah.
They'll probably, like, what's Woodstock? They'll probably have a 1999 Woodstock panel, which will be very interesting to listen to, you know. Now, here's the question I should ask. Is Limp Bizkit going to be playing at Woodstock?
Or DMX?
Yeah, whoever incited the riot, which was, they said it was Limp Bizkit, was pretty much the reason why that thing went down, right? Because the break stuff played and they just went nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
forgot about that whole thing.
That was all, that was like another big part because of the riot. And, like, people were tearing down boards from, like, the towers and stuff, and, like, crowd surfing on them,
scaffolding and stuff. Yeah,
which I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie, I wouldn't do it, but it was pretty cool. Like, I remember seeing footage of that show, and, like, Fred's on the stage, and he's like, "That's some cool shit right there," and he's like looking at it and pointing at it. It was, yeah. So we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. So that is the new segment we're going to do, or we're just kind of really testing out, is music news in front of our songs playlist that we normally do. So yeah, the theme that we chose for our playlist this week would be our now playing, just stuff we're listening to at the moment a lot. Did you want to start this week, Len, or do you want me to start?
I'll start this week.
All right.
Okay, so my first song is by I guess you can call this post-rock. I'm still trying to learn genre and how to correctly identify genres sometimes, because I get mixed up. I just like the music, man. That's all that really matters to me. Yeah. But for the sake of the show, I want to get it right. So the band's called Hammock, and the song's called Will You Ever Love Yourself? I heard this literally last night while I was listening to Sigur Rós. Like, it was like a This Is Sigur Rós playlist, and then they started playing stuff from other bands.
That's similar, yeah.
And the song came on, and it hit me to the point where I want to throw this into my movie Exit Zero, because I know exactly where it was. Like, when it played, and I listened to it, like, the first minute, I was like, I know where this goes. I know how this scene's going to be. Like, I, like, pulled up the script, and it fits perfectly for this one scene. And there's just so much to this song that just hits you right in the feels. It, like, hits you right in the gut. And you well up, because it's like, for me, it's like a scene of like memories happening. Someone's like remembering things because something bad just happened. And like, you, there's no dialogue. It's just scenes and just footage and just things flashing on screen. And it's an epic song, and I love Hammock. I started listening to them because of Bandcamp, and I love that app. I love that website. It's one of my favorite things to listen to new music on. And yeah, I just, it's a great, great, it's a great song, man. I've been listening to a lot of post rock lately.
Yeah. I actually, that that's funny, because that'll lead into my next song pretty easily. My next song is by a band called Blanket. I think I sent you this band. They did a cover of Knife Party by Deftones, but that is not the song I'm talking about. The song I'm talking about is an original that they have off of their 2018 album. The song is called Our Tired Hearts. Blanket is, I would say they're like a post-rock, really cinematic band. I'd compare them to like Tides of Man, but a little bit more cinematic and less like rocky, you know.
Okay.
They still have like some rocky, like rock and roll kind of parts, but yeah, they're really, really good. I heard about them because of the Deftones cover that they did, which, by the way, the Knife Party cover they did, he sounds just like Chino. Like, it sounds like a remix of the song. Like, and somebody took the vocal and slowed it down.
Okay.
Like, that's how good of a job they did. And I got really into these guys over the past couple of weeks after discovering their discography through Bandcamp. Yeah. That's why your last song also led into this one so well. And it's funny because these bands are probably pretty similar. And it's called Hammock, mine's called Blanket.
So it's so cohesive,
so,
right there.
So bands, a lot of the times, in eras, there are like, there's like a popularity amongst a name scheme. Like, a few years ago, it was cool to be blank of blank. You know, if you're a heavy band, the blank of blank name is like Born of Osiris, or like, you know, like band names like that.
Now
it's cool, like, and then in the like, a few years ago, it was cool to be just a plural word, like Monuments or something like that. There was a lot of those bands, like, especially around here, that did the plural band name thing. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everywhere. Now I think it's just you pick furniture or have home goods and pick a single item, and that's your band name. if you're a post-rock band, I think that's how that works now. But yeah, the band Blanket's really good. Check them out.
Awesome. I'm looking at, because I had to like look up the album, and I love the album art. It's beautiful.
Oh, for Blanket?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, their art's really, really cool, and they're a relatively newer band. They haven't been around for a very long time. They're from the UK.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like post rock. I like anything like that, so I definitely will enjoy them for sure. My next song is a song that I never heard from this band actually until recently. I saw the music video because I recognized one of the actors from Handmaid's Tale. He was in the Social Network. He was the dude that worked with the Winklevoss twins. I forget his name. He's an English actor, I believe. He's in this music video, and it's by The Killers, and his song is called Shot at the Night. And I have to say it's my favorite Killer song of anything they put out. It's got this 80s vibe to it. It's like, feels like an 80s like pop rock song for sure. And the music video is really cool. It's basically this a Vegas hotel maid works at one of the big, you know, hotels, casino, resort things. And, you know, she's just going through her daily routine. And she, you know, is driving home because, you know, it's a boring life. And she just looks like she's upset about everything. And she's done doing her thing at the house. And then she drives back to work later that night and almost hits a couple people that are walking across the street carelessly. And, like, the guy, like, stops and looks at her. They have a moment. And then they run into each other at the hotel. And that group of people convinces her to, like, kind of play hooky from work the rest of her night and go out with them. And, you know, the guy and the girl kind of fall for each other. It's really cool. It's like a Vegas love story. But the song's really good. I really enjoy it. It's catchy. I like Brandon Flowers a lot. I really like the solo stuff. The Killers just put out a really good live record and concert. I think you can watch the concert on Apple Music live from Albert Royal Hall.
Okay.
Which is, or the Royal Albert Hall, whatever it's called. It's in England. It's a really,
I know, awesome, what you're talking about, but I don't know which way to say it either.
So any of our listeners from the UK, you can correct us.
They're all probably, if anybody from the UK is listening, they're, you fucking ignorant Americans.
Yeah. We're always guilty of that. But they're just really good band. And I remember seeing the Killers with our friends, Larry Callahan and Andrew Franz and stuff. That was a good time, senior year of high school. And that's when Hot Fuss first came out. And it was a good time. And I still like the Killers. And yeah, man, I'm excited to see what they come out with next. But this song is really good. And I recommend everyone to check it out for sure.
Yeah. So my next song, let's see what I want to pick here. I'll go with a band named Disperse. The song Stay. I don't really know a lot about this band. My buddy Mark told me to check them out, so I did, but it took me a while to. He told me to check them out in the summertime, and I kind of just got around to it. But they're really good. They're more of like a modern, heavier rock metal band. Okay. But they have a lot of singing parts. Yeah, just check them out. I mean, they're playing under us right now. A lot of this more modern stuff, like, I feel like a lot of modern metal, or, you know, you call them djent if you want to. Really, all that is just polyrhythms over 4/4. But whatever. Just, like, a lot of them are starting to realize some people don't like the screaming, but, like, they would listen to. Because, really, when you listen to, like, heavy metal music, a lot of the times, the more heavier, like, chuggy parts are like hip hop beats with distorted chugging guitars over them. Mm-hmm. Like the flow of it is like a hip hop tempo and like a basic kick snare hip hop beat. But instead of just doing like slow kicks, they do double time kicks. So like the double bass, like the a hip hop beat, just double time on the bass, same timing on the snare. You know what I mean? You make that rhythm and then you put chugging guitars behind it, and instead of sounding like hip hop, it sounds like metal.
I like that.
Speed it up and slow it down. That's really all it is. But anyway, a lot of the music's super melodic. There's some heavier parts, but they do a really good job of using like really cool chords and stuff. So yeah, check them out. They're called Disperse. The song's called Stay.
Awesome. It's funny you're talking about the drum beats and stuff. I was listening to Bill Burr talk about how to play songs, and he was like, and talking to, I guess, someone who wrote him a letter about playing a Zeppelin song. And the way he talks about playing, it's how you sounded like. Just, it's really funny. I don't know. I love
when musicians talk about how, like, trying to make sense of music, we sound like idiots. You know what I mean? Because you got to make stupid sounds with your mouth, stuff like that. You should watch two guitar players trying to explain to each other how to, like, play a part. Like me and Marky are trying to write something, Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But we don't have our guitars on us. Be like, oh, you know what I do that part? Diddle 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 diddle. You're doing this part. And you just mouth these noises. You sound like an idiot.
I saw this ad on Instagram the other day, and it was an engineer or producer or whatever working on a song, and he was like playing it for someone, and the guy didn't like how the drum sounded, and the guy's like, yeah, so I kind of want to sound like this, and he just started doing it with his mouth. It was hilarious, and it was all an ad for a drum loop package.
Yeah.
And
oh wait, was it the Misha Mansoor and Matt Halpern Get Good Drums, Modern and Massive?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, no, it was definitely because the drummer was sitting behind the guy on the computer on his phone, not interested. And then he's like, yeah, but it should be more like this. Yeah. And he does it super complicated. Mm-hmm. So he thinks like, oh, it'll take him mad long to do that. But it takes him like 2 seconds and it sounds incredible.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I bought that drum library.
They're doing nice. That's awesome.
It sounds dope.
It definitely does. Okay, my next song is someone that a lot of people have been dying to hear a lot more music from, and he's starting to put out a lot more music now, is Gerard Way from MCR. And he does a song with Lydia Knight called Dasher. I really enjoy it. It's a really good song. I heard it on the radio the other day, Radio 104.5. I'm a big fan of them. Actually, next weekend, I believe, is either next weekend or weekend after, is their Winter John show. I'm gonna go.
You're in Philly, so you have good radio.
Yeah. So you guys don't get spoiled with that, which sucks.
We have 98.7 the coast, my friend, and that's pretty much it anymore. Like,
yeah,
that and 100.7, which is, unless you want to hear AC/DC 12,000 times a day.
That's true. You can always get iHeartRadio and listen to Radio 104.5 or whatever you want to listen to.
That's true. It's 2019. I mean, come on.
I mean, I just re-downloaded that app only because Ron Burgundy's podcast is coming out soon.
What?
Oh, God. You don't know.
No, I didn't hear about that.
I'm going to show you the art because we're on camera. People are going to be able to see this, too. And I just think it's hilarious that... So I saw this on... this is going to play out loud, isn't it? Nope, don't want you to play that out loud. So there's like an intro thing, and it's just him singing about having a podcast. But yeah, there you go. Coming early 2019.
Oh, God.
The Rod Burgundy podcast from iHeartRadio.
I wonder how much he's getting paid to do that.
I don't know, man. If it's like a regular podcast, like he starts reading ads... I'll die. It'll be the greatest thing.
No, literally too, because I obviously would listen to that podcast because I love the character and Will Ferrell's hilarious and it'll be funny. But I would really be listening for the moments where he breaks character because he just loses it.
Yeah.
That's what I would be, is the golden moments, you know?
And I hope it's like that. I hope it's not too, like, conformed or whatever, like edited for just
like
to make it
professionally
seem like
edited. Yeah.
And, I mean, it's going to be. It's you know, part of the iHeart Radio podcast, like, network. But right. I feel like if you just let Will just be Rod Burgundy, but, like, off-the-cuff Rod Burgundy, where he interviews people, like, legit people, so it's him interviewing... Dave Grohl, it'll be hilarious and it'll be great. And I like when people, and I know we're getting off topic, but I had to bring this up only because I needed to tell you. I like how Bill Burr reads his ad reads. Like, I never knew true greatness until I listened to him fumble and stumble. Now I don't feel bad when I do. We have to do like 30 takes.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Like, you know, I mean, he's obviously really busy. So, like, yeah. I've actually heard some of his podcasts where he literally didn't have time to do the ads when he went to record the physical podcast. So he got in his car and used voice memos on his phone while he's driving around.
That's
recording
awesome.
The fucking ads in his car.
That's great. So yeah, he's coming out with one. But iHeartRadio is a great app to listen to stations. Like, I miss listening to stuff from LA. So I'll, if they're on iHeartRadio, I'll listen to them. Like K-Rock and all that good stuff. There was another radio station that I listened to that was really good. Like, it was really weird because it would only come in certain places. But I now have a Sirius streaming subscription. I got it for like 3 or 4 months for 99 cents a month. Or no, 3 or 4 months for 99 cents. And then I have to pay like the regular fee or whatever after. I think it's like $10 a month. But I listen to one station on there and that's it. I don't know why, because there's so many good things on there. But it's called the Emo Project, and it's literally just straight 24/7 emo music. It's awesome.
Well, I'm about to pay for SiriusXM Premium just for Howard Stern. So, I mean,
that's definitely worth it. I hate it that is. It's only
it really
like,
is. It really and it's their like super. It's their all access. You can't have regular Sirius and get Howard Stern. Like, you have to get Sirius all access to get any Howard Stern.
That's nuts. I love it.
But, you know, he's driving that entire fucking thing. So,
yeah. But back to the songs, I haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's definitely a little different from MCR, obviously, but it still has like that writing. I think Gerard Way is a good writer, and I'm excited that he has music out, and it's really good. And Lydia Knight's section of the song is great too. So definitely check it out if you're a fan of MCR and are wondering what Gerard's doing these days. So I know that a lot of people are clamoring for a reunion, because I know they just broke up like what, 5 years ago, something like that. And I like how they I like that they broke up, because they know sometimes like bands tend to overstay
their welcome.
Yeah, and they kind of
obvious too.
And it does, and they put out 3 records that were all different in my mind. They all sounded different to me. And
yeah, they all they have their own sound, but they all, I mean, like the band has their own sound. So when you hear the albums, you hear My Chemical Romance, but they all sound distinct from each other.
Exactly. Exactly. Where like, you know, they have 4 albums, I should say. The one that's like more, it's like a lot heavier than the other ones, but like three cheers for whatever, 45 years or whatever it's called, or whatever, Sweet Cheers, or see, I always get the name mixed up because I just know the songs on it. And then Black Parade, Welcome to Black Parade, and then Danger Days was the last album they put out. And like Welcome to the Black Parade is probably heralded as their best record. I still think 3 Cheers or whatever the album's called is their better work, but it is up for interpretation and up for, it's like, you know, subjective. So, but yeah, check out Dasher. It's a great song.
So my next jam would be, I'm going to go, you know what, before I go with not heavy, I'll go with the heaviest thing on my list and then work the other way. So, the heaviest thing on my list this week is what I've been listening to is Fallujah, the song, The Void Alone.
Oh yeah.
Off the album Dreamless. Dude, Fallujah is so good. They are like, I'm going to give them this ridiculous compliment of New Age Necrophagist, in my opinion. Like, Necrophagist is like up here, top tier death metal band. You know, as far as technical death metal, they set the standard. I think Fallujah is the New Age Necrophagist. They're so good. They're so heavy. They use like their guitar player so good. they're so good. Like, that's all I can really say. If you're into really heavy, like, death technical death metal, this band is gonna, they're gonna stop your heart, man. They're so good. Yeah, check out Dreamless. That's the album I've jammed the most from them. But their stuff before that's still really good. I found out about them through Kiesel Guitars, because their guitar player Scott Carstairs, their lead guitar player, is endorsed by them. But regardless of whether I heard from them or not, they're so good. Yeah, not much to say about them other than check them out if you're into that kind of music. If you're not, you're going to hate it and think it sounds like garbage cans falling downstairs. Mm-hmm. But whatever, you know.
There's an audience for everything, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I put this stuff on here because I like it. And, you know, sometimes there might be somebody looking for something like this that comes to the show, so whatever.
That's the point why we do this show. Exactly. It's exactly it. two things. Get this man an endorsement, please, to the guitar company that he gets every show. Once every show, I swear it. It's a good thing.
Well, I hear about a lot of music through them. They sign a lot of good guitar players, and they're stealing a lot of artists from other companies right now because I think everybody's starting to wake up and realize that they make a good product.
There you go. Number two, I remember finding Fallujah when I was listening to bands like Job for a Cowboy and stuff. So I was like looking for other bands that sounded familiar back in the day on Facebook, and Fallujah came up. And no, it might have been even like, yeah, it was Facebook time. Fallujah came up, and dude, I love their logo. I love the name. The name is just
super heavy. Like as a name, it's just really heavy.
It brings up so many different things because of what Fallujah is and like, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah. So it just conjures up a lot of things, and they're just, yeah, I enjoy them too. So I'll definitely have to check out this song for sure. Hell yeah. Next is a new song featuring Psychic Babble as Anthony Green with When I Come Home. We've talked about Anthony Green on this show maybe once or twice. No, you definitely talked about him. I think I brought
up something. Oh, you definitely have, yeah.
From Avalon. I think our emo episode, that's when we talked about him, which you can listen to on our feed. It's one of my favorite episodes we've done. I love this dude's voice. I think that's why I enjoy Anthony Green's. I just like his voice. It's just nice to listen to.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his song though. Like it's kind of got like an electronic feel to it. It kind of reminds me of like Postal Service a little bit. So when I heard it for the first time, I was like, ah, this kind of sounds like Postal Service. I like the sounds he's trying to, you know, I like what he's trying to do with this. And it's just it's a chill song. It's definitely something good to listen to. Sit back and you know, sip on some whiskey or whatever you're drinking and read a book, and it's playing in the background.
Is it on his new album, the one that Vera Lynn's on?
I can tell you this right now. The it's Would You Still Be a Remix Volume 1. Came out last year, it seems like. I think it's just like a single.
Would You Still Be in Love? The first song off of his album, Would You Still Be in Love, is what I'm talking about. The song Vera Lynn. That song was dope.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, Anthony Green's sick, dude. Like, I mean, aside from like the really good stuff that he does in Circus Survive and what he's doing with Sayosin, his solo stuff's really great too, because it's like, I would say like pseudo folk, like kind of like folky acoustic stuff.
Yep. And I think I never knew, like, cause I knew Circus Survive and Sayosin and all that, but I think I started listening to Anthony when he put out that album Avalon, and only because like I put the two and two together, like he apparently recorded that down in Avalon, so that's really sweet. Yeah, that's when I started listening to him, and then I like realized he was in other bands that I have seen at Bamboozle before. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna start listening to them, and then I just, you know, that's how it grows. And just a big fan of the guy. I really wish I got to go see that Avalon anniversary show, but just didn't, wasn't in the cards. But yeah, definitely check this one out. It's good.
All right, so my next song is the band Gunship, the song The Video Game Champion. I think I mentioned it last week, but it wasn't on the list. It was kind of just like in banter that I had mentioned it. I lately have been, because of, okay, so Gunship got McRocklin from McRocklin and Hutch to do the guitars in this song for them. And that dude, McRocklin, has got me kind of into this like whole new wave 80s revival electronic music that's going on right now. And this song, it just feels exactly like the 80s. It hits you right in the feels, man, from like the first second to the last second. It's such a good song as far as like songwriting, melody, rhythm. The mix is really good, the guitar playing is really good, the vocal melodies, like, dude, it's, they're dope. I have to check out the rest of Gunship stuff.
They're so good. Like, I had one of their songs on here a while back called Tech Noir. And I can tell you, like, there's a lot of retro wave bands out there that are really, really awesome, or groups or artists or whatever you want to say. I always go to, I'll say four that I listen to the most. I listen to The Midnight, obviously, first and foremost, because they're the first group that I discovered that is retro wave. FM 84, Time Cop, 1986 or something like that, or 88 or whatever. Just I call them Time Cop anyway. And then there is Gunship. And I feel like out of the four, I feel like Gunship and The Midnight are the two that are going to carry the group,
the genre
into mainstream. Because like The Midnight and their songwriting and the vocals and what they like, it was amazing. It's with Gunship, the same thing. Plus Gunship always puts out these amazing music videos. The music video for this is outrageously awesome.
It's so good, dude. It when I saw McLaughlin say like he's like, I did a song with Gunship. I was like, damn, dude, he's blowing up really quickly again. It's funny because he was a prodigy guitar player, so it was like, dude, why'd you even stop playing? But the fact that he started playing again and then he's blowing up so fast, it was like, well, of course.
Yeah,
but it was like, all right, I'll give this a try. You know, I knew it was going to be like synthwave type stuff, but dude, this just blew me away. And I've been listening to a lot of stuff like this lately.
It's good, man. It's like you gotta take it for what it's worth. And it's definitely like a niche product right now, but I feel like it's going to grow. It's only growing. And there's so many other good synthwave groups out there. I just feel like these four are the ones I listen to the most, that mean, especially The Midnight, means so much to me. But Time Cop and FM 84 and Gunship. We were listening to Gunship on the way down to Jersey not too long ago. Their new record just came out that day, and it's amazing. It's really good. So if you guys out there obviously like the sounds of the 80s, or like grew up in the 80s, if you're, you know, that age and like the sounds of, you know, from the time, listen to this stuff. It'll take you back for sure. I can feel like I listen to these things and like I miss things that I was never part of. And right. When music can make you feel that way,
mm-hmm.
That's something, man. That's something that nothing else can do, you know?
Exactly.
So definitely I'm so happy that you're getting into it. That makes me happy.
Yeah. So I will talk about my last official band on my list, and then I'll just mention my bonus real quick. So my last artist would be a band called I Alaska, and the song is called I Knew You'd Never Fly. So I haven't listened to this band in years, since like, I don't know, 2007 or 8. If you look up like their genre, it says they're rock, but they're like they were like the most scene accepted pop rock band ever. Like, and when I say scene, I mean like, you know, when I say scene, and it was 2007, 2008. I'm talking like when, like, you know, a lot of like, there was like a lot of like heavy metal bands that were out that were really cool around that time, you know, like Atreyu and stuff like that. But I feel like this band got really accepted by that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And their song that this is on, their album that this song is on, it's called Yellow and Elephant. It's incredible. Every song is good. Every single song is great. You'll be singing it in your head all damn day if you listen to it for like 30 seconds. Their singer's incredible. The instrumentation is really, really good. And they figured out how to do this pop rock record really authentically and like kind of pulling from older styles without being cheesy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, unfortunately, their first actual, I would say, I guess, you know, big album, because Yellow and Elephant was an EP. came out in 2009. It was called Genesis Underground. It hit number 38 on the Billboard. Okay. But to me, I think it sucked. Like the instrumentals were great, but the singer got really corny with a lot of stuff. I feel like the lyrics, like when I heard them, I was like, dude, you could have spent more time on that. Like,
just like half-ass.
I can't even say half-ass. It's just like, if you want an example of a song that I think from that album exemplifies the difference between Yellow and Elephant and Genesis Underground, let me look up the name of the song right now. Ayahuasca. The song Rocky Road.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'll fade that in right now. I'll fade in why I think that sounds corny. So the thing you just heard and the thing you heard before that is the difference, I think, between where I think they went wrong and I never heard from them again. They don't have any albums after that one, Genesis Underground. They had nothing. The band announced via Facebook on September 23rd that they cease their existence as Ayahuasca and move on as individuals in other areas, not exclusively in music.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So I'll give you my last song and then I'll give you my bonus, because I do have a bonus too. So this next one is by a group called Mew. And they're teamed up with the Copenhagen Philharmonic with their song Comforting Sounds, which is one of the songs that I put on one of the first episodes ever of this show when it was just me. I think it might have been the first episode. And the reason why I put it back on this playlist is because it sounds different because there's an orchestra playing behind it. And I love when bands team up with an orchestra to do a concert or do a show. Bands like Metallica did it. Bands like, let's see, who else? I'm trying to think of one that's very obscure. It's a black metal band. I'm trying to
think. What, that did something with an orchestra?
Yeah. Like an actual orchestra playing behind them. I'm trying to think of the one band that's very obscure that did it.
Yimmu?
I know
they're not obscure.
They're not obscure.
In that scene, they're not obscure. But
no, I'm trying to think of the band's name. It starts with an S. Satyricon or something like that. Satyricon, maybe, I think they're called. I'm going to get, like, mauled by the black metal community by this. But they did it, and it sounded great. Like, I like when bands do it. It just sounds fun. And it definitely, like, Metallica's music sounded a lot more like epic when you play, like when you have epic strings.
I know what you mean.
But this song is really awesome. It starts off really like just, it's just a guitar, like the original song is just like a guitar and it's this guy's vocals, and then it gets heavy at the end. They kind of do a breakdown. I first heard the original song on an episode of Eastbound and Down, of all shows. It was the season finale of maybe the first season. They're driving an SUV and the song's playing, and then the show ends with when the song gets heavy. I actually took that and incorporated it into my short film called Don't Give Up. And the scene at the end where the main character is kind of reminiscing over to like the near, like he tried to commit suicide, but like it didn't happen. Like he survived the attempt. He was visited by something, you know, in his stupor, and he's at the beach and he's there with his girlfriend, who the guy, they, in the beginning of the movie, they got into a big fight, and he sees the, I guess, his guardian angel, if you believe into that kind of thing. And then she fades away and the song like gets heavy and cuts to black. So I kind of adopted that, and I just thought it was a great thing. And rest in peace to Brent Scott, who was in the movie. He sadly passed away a few years ago. Good guy. So when I heard this, when they did it with the orchestra, I was like blown away and had to put it on the list. So I just heard that a few days ago. So there you go. My bonus is The Freaks by the Menzingers. I'm a big Menzinger fan. They're from Philly. You know, I fly their flag a lot. This is, they've been releasing like random singles here and there. And I really like this song. They released this on Halloween, I believe. It was either the day before Halloween or on Halloween. And just a good song. Just it's definitely a little jam. Just check it out. If you have heard the Menzingers, I think I've included them on the show once or twice before. I saw them with Frank Turner this past year, and they were great. And I really want to see them again. And they mean a lot to me, so I had to throw them on. So that is my list, and that is his list.
Yeah,
we are finished.
We made it, guys. We made it through the first episode officially of, well, no, the first episode was the wrap up. No, that came out on the 31st. Yep. This was the first episode of this year, 2019.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we made it.
We made it. We're here. It's 1999 again.
Yeah, holy shit.
It's 2019. 20
fucking years ago again.
Geez, man, it's so nuts. 20 fucking years. We're old. Thank you so much for listening. If you really enjoyed the new segment in the beginning, to kind of, you know, because sometimes when we do the list, sometimes we can get through the list really fast. So we added that just so it gives you a little bit more to listen to. And I agree with Sean when he called me. He said, you know, our banter in the beginning is usually fun and people like that. And it's natural, and we're not just trying to force things. So I'm glad we did it. I hope you guys like it. Let us know on all social media at Songs Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Real G Rod. Where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sean Songs Podcast. Real easy to find on there. I really wanted to do, because when I said like, yeah, our banter is really funny, there's a lot of stuff that we don't actually record, because like we'll Skype call each other and talk to each other for like half an hour before we actually hit record.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking to myself, you know, a lot of that is actually, you know, would be considered pretty entertaining. So why don't we just try to turn that into a music news discussion, something that's still relevant to the genre of the podcast. And we can also maybe include songs from some of the articles that we're discussing.
I like that. It's a great idea, and I'm glad we did it. And I feel like everyone will like it, and we'll keep doing it, and it'll be good. You can also visit us on our website at songspodcast.com, where we have reviews and things like that. And pretty soon we're going to start bringing on the artists that we review. We'll bring them on and they'll do the show with us, or we'll do like a segment with them where they talk about a couple songs that they like, that they love and have stories from and all that good stuff. And I feel like that is going to bring more ears to the show. You can tell all your friends, your family that, you know, you enjoy the show because there's things like that on there. Also, if you want to show us your ultimate support, you can go to patreon.com/songspodcast. Now, I realize we haven't promoted that in a bit, and I'm so glad that we haven't, only because I realized that I unpublished it to fix it. So I had to publish it again, and I just added some the updated graphics and things to it. So you're going to get edited shows to where you don't get the ads. So it's ad-free shows. You'll get, maybe we'll do an after show. We'll do bonus episodes where we talk about other things. We'll bring you on to bring your list to the show. Discount codes for a merch, which you can go to merch.songspodcast.com and buy a Songs for the Moment t-shirt. And that is it. One more thing before I go. On Spotify, we have a profile, Songs for the Moment. Just type in Songs for the Moment in the search bar. Follow, you can get all the playlists right there, and maybe some bonus things that Sean and I will put on there just for your ears. If you like music and you know you want more than you hear from the show, we'll definitely put that on there. But for me and Sean, you have anything else to say? I don't want to cut you off here.
I do want to do something similar for Apple Music, but creating a new Spotify profile is a lot easier than creating a new Apple ID.
Yeah.
Because Apple's going to want, like, you know, my firstborn child for a new Apple ID. So
it's in the fine print.
Yeah. Like, you got to give them all your, like, I don't know. I'll probably wind. I think there's a way to get away with not, whatever. I'll try to get all of the playlists that I create for Apple Music. You can search me. If you go to my Instagram, I usually link to the playlists. So on my profile on Apple Music, you can see all the playlists for the shows. And, you know, I think almost every single one we've ever done is on there. But when I do create an Apple ID for the show, I'll migrate all the playlists over to there. So nothing gets lost.
Awesome. And also one more thing I keep forgetting. There's so much.
It's like Apple. Doing. One more thing, man.
Well, one more thing. And by the way, we recorded this show on video as well. So if you type in or if you go to our website, you'll be able to see the video of the show. And if you like that kind of stuff, we'll keep doing it. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I wanted to say. On Apple Music, or not Apple, on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you can leave reviews, leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you like. Tell all your friends, share the show. This is 2019 is going to be the year of Songs for the Moment, and we can't be more excited than we already are. It's going to be good times. And yeah, that is it. So for Sean and I, thank you so much for listening to Songs for the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack. Peace out, guys.
Have a good one, guys.